Oh, hey, gang. The gang's all here. How is everybody?
Good, Cal. How are you? I'm good. How are you, Brianne?
Oh, I'm just dandy. But I'm coming to you from the past, so I have a small talk question.
Oh, yeah.
If you had to dash off somewhere at midnight, where are you coming from and where are you going to?
Oh, no.
Wait. I had to dash off at midnight, I have almost certainly gone out drinking and forgot I've got an early shift the next day. So I'm dashing right on home.
I live in the current year in Australia, so I'm dashing home because I forgot about the whole curfew thing. Although where I was, I don't know. Nothing's open.
Well, you both are just big old bummers.
Well, I don't know what to tell you about that. That's just business as usual these days.
Well,
that's why we've been engaging in escapist fantasies like Cinderella for the last too long.
I see. What? And my escapist fantasy question didn't intrigue you?
I mean, if I answer, yeah, I got nothing. I've been, my creativity has been stamped down by the glorious leader, Daniel Andrews.
But I think can you please use his correct title, Daddy Andrews?
Uncle Dan. But yeah, not to get political.
It's too late.
So,
are you claiming that Dan Andrews is responsible for the earthquake we had this morning, Cal?
I was half asleep, so I thought, man, that washing machine spin cycle is really aggressive this morning. And then later on, I'm like, that doesn't make a damn lick of sense.
Not even a little bit.
Like if I was on an old house on like stumps or something, that would make a little bit of sense. But I'm on like a slab of concrete. As
yep,
not moving that.
Yeah, I was half asleep too, and that shit woke me up. Anyway, just for the record, this podcast does not believe that Dan Andrews planned or executed an earthquake in any way.
I was nowhere near the earthquake. Thank you for asking. I had a great day.
So, Brianne, you're saying you were somewhere safe and you have no alibi.
I had a butterfly. It flapped its wings.
Confession on air.
Also, you live in California. The whole city's going to sink into a fucking crater in the ground by next week. So,
There's no point about joking about that, because it literally happened. Like, Big Sur disappeared, 2018?
Yeah, I remember. And then we have an earthquake. My lawn chair fell over, and it was a nightmare.
We will rebuild.
I had to walk all the way over there to pick it up. It took me, 30 seconds.
That joke works a lot better when a building didn't collapse, but cool.
Did you see the photos of the collapsed building on Chapel Street?
It's like a pie and milkshake shop or something.
It's Betty's Burgers.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
That's famous. James knows it. James was like, "Oh no, it's Betty's Burgers."
Wait, you have a Betty's Burgers?
I'm sure it's not the same as your Betty's Burgers.
It might be. I haven't been to Betty's since Santa Cruz. Anyway,
we also have Wendy's over here.
This is so far off base.
Yeah, but they do ice creams and milkshakes.
So Cal's running to Wendy's at midnight. Where are you going, Sam?
God. Ooh. Where am I going?
Where are you coming from and where are you going?
So Cal's going to a Wendy's at midnight?
Apparently.
No, I've been off gallivanting with a spicy redhead. And
he's got to get to Wendy's or he'll turn into a pumpkin.
I've got to get to Wendy's.
What the redhead is wasn't this Wendy. Curse? this doesn't sound like the movie.
Okay, what are your shoes made out of? I had fun questions.
My shoes
boring.
My shoes are made out of tweets, baby.
Oh,
and I got two of them.
God damn it. Do we actually have two tweets?
We actually have exactly two tweets, yeah.
That's perfect. Everything's
one for
coming
each
up
foot,
together.
Everybody.
Everything's yep.
For the record, Brianne, my shoes are made of, I don't know, man,
bacon.
Like synthetic leather.
Be more creative.
The first tweet, what do you want? Apples, they're made of apples, and a wizard turned them into shoes. F- fuck you want from me?
There's a worm in your shoe.
That will suffice.
Magical resistant worm.
Sam's got apple shoes, and Cal's going to Wendy's. This is a fairy tale made in heaven.
Excellent. This is a bad fairy tale.
Yes.
The first tweet we've got, both the tweets are from Riley is good.
Hi, Riley.
First tweet says, very funny that Jason Statham plays Handsome Rob, and it's not an ironic name.
It would be funny if they called him Ugly Rob.
They call him Ugly Rob. It would be an ironic name because Jason Statham is a handsome boy.
He's a bag of charm, that lad.
Mm-hmm. He's like gruff handsome, though, right?
Mm. Yeah, it's like a tight bag of charm.
With some stubble on it.
It's a bunch of charm with, yeah, like a stubbly bag just like stretched tightly over it.
I abstain from this vote.
What else? The next tweet from Riley is, if you can't see Shang-Chi or Candyman for next week, you could always do Free Guy. And the better things Free Guy's emulating, in brackets, The Matrix, The Truman Show, The Lego Movie, or the worst things, Gamer, Ready Player One, Serenity.
Wait, did Riley just list Serenity?
Serenity is Serenity. And Serenity were bad. But mm-hmm. also, insult to injury, you can't see Free Guy either.
Yeah, I was going to say, we can't see anything. That's why we're doing Cinderella.
I can see all of them.
We love the input, Riley. Unfortunately, we can't see anything.
Should I just, pirate radio your podcast for the next couple of weeks and talk about all the movies I can see?
A couple of weeks off sounds pretty good to me.
The offset there is you have to find someone else to host with who's seen all these movies.
Sarah's down. Cause... She doesn't know this yet, but she has volunteered.
I have now seen Candyman, Riley, and it's good, and we will talk about it, but we're going to save it for Spooktober, because it came out on video on demand, so I was able to see it. Shang-Chi, we might not be able to see it until it comes out on Disney Plus, which has been announced as November 12th.
So we interrupt the Cinderella podcast with Brienne discusses Shang-Chi in full length on her own. Good luck, gang.
Cool. I'm just going to mute.
Yeah, me too.
My headphones and just... Text me when you're done. Candyman and Malignant we can watch on streaming, yeah?
Yeah. Well, on video on demand.
Alright, so we gotta rent it?
Yes, rent it.
You say that like that's such a foreign concept.
Because it is definitely out on video on demand in the nation of Australia. It is definitely out here, so you can definitely rent it.
We've got to go out to bloody Kodiak, Alaska, to the last Blockbuster, walk 5 miles uphill both ways in the snow to rent it from from the past.
Yes.
Of the past, let's get back to the topic related to my question. Yes. You don't have to answer the question again, but we can get back to the real topic. Unless there was another question, or was that the second question? I lost track.
No, that's all the tweets for this
Great,
week.
Cinderella, let's
Turns
go.
Turns out no one cares about the movie's Italian job.
Play the music! Shop podcast about what you're watching. Maybe I'm your host Cal,
and I'm your other host Sam. Today, instead of talking about What If or Star Wars Visions, which just came out, or anything remotely relevant, we're talking about Cinderella movies that weren't made by Disney.
I feel like that's a bad category. What have I told you? Because there are lots more Cinderella movies than what we're going to cover, and it's partially relevant because we're talking about the new Amazon Cinderella.
Yeah. Namely Amazon and not Disney. Get out of here, Disney.
Sam, how many times have I told you not to come up with ideas for the episode that we're doing during the music? where were you days ago when we were really struggling to figure out what we were going to talk about?
I thought of that as a good idea after we'd already watched 3 Cinderella movies. And I was like, at this point, I've watched a Cinderella story. I have to do something with that.
I will will hear nothing slanderous about God. The Cinderella story.
Oh, I'm going to have some bad news for you.
How?
Which one are we starting with?
Let's go in release order. So let's start with Drew Barrymore's Ever After. Which
Ever After, colon, a Cinderella story.
Which is on Disney Plus, but it was a Fox film, so it doesn't count.
I think we're splitting some hairs there, sir.
I'll split your bloody hairs, mate.
All you big rabbits down the middle.
Oh, no.
Okay, I really liked this movie.
It's really good. I'd seen it before.
I've never seen it before. It got dumber than I was expecting it to for a movie that plays itself relatively straight.
Mm.
Like Leonardo da Vinci walking on water with his little boat shoes.
It's so funny.
Might be the best visual gag I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Was anyone else pleasantly surprised that he was the fairy godmother?
And that his magic was like, he just understands how the door works and just takes the pins out of the hinge.
Think about Da Vinci. In his time, he might as well have been a magician or like have some kind of actual magic in his understanding of the world and mathematics within it that no one else had.
Yeah. I don't know how well it lines up about him being in
France.
Like just pre-revolution France.
Yeah.
And him hanging out alone with the prince, like without even an envoy of any sort.
And Drew Barrymore being there. What's that all about? It's almost like it's a movie, Cal.
Except, Brienne, I don't remember the scene where they go, "This is the actress, Drew Barrymore." I think they introduced her. What was her name? Sam?
Danielle.
In this?
No, that's Hilary
Danielle.
Duff.
That is Hilary Duff. Danielle, that's it. I knew it was not Cinderella.
Well, they call her Cinderella twice.
Because no one's... Mm. I find the romance in this one really charming. I find, like, the two main characters really charming. I love that scene where they meet on the, like, he's, like, stealing the horse. She's, like, pelting him with, like, fruit.
Everyone loves a good apple beating.
Oh, shit.
Just docks him in the head.
Yep. And she's all like, "I didn't see you." And he's like, "Your aim would indicate otherwise."
There is some really clever dialogue in this whole thing. Like, the scenes of her as a kid where, "You look like a girl." "Well, I am a girl. But you don't normally look like a girl."
And, like, because I feel like they did make her a little bit... Well, they sort of... They made her belle and incorporated some flavor from Tangled, or at least Tangled ripped off of some of the swashbuckling stuff.
Okay, you're
going
to have to elaborate on both of those references as to how you believe those two things influence this character.
Well, it's just that, like, they take Cinderella, who in the Disney animated one is basically a blank slate self-insert protagonist, and actually give her a personality by stealing it from the literary nerd Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
I'm just going to ask really quickly, Cal. Are you aware that these fairy tales exist without Disney animated films to inform these stories?
I'm sure they do, but...
Well, this literally...
Knowing Brothers Grimm, it was probably more about...
very old fairy tale stories?
Well, yeah, and this movie's
and
literally
I imagine Brothers Grimm
by the Grimms. The Brothers Grimm.
True, yeah, we didn't mention that. That is really fun.
She's like, "Now, hold on a second, I'm going to tell you the real story, kiddos." I think that was the exact dialogue.
Sure.
But their original thing, Knowing Brothers Grimm, was probably more just horrific shit happening and just awful, awful things.
Well, I want to say the Brothers Grimm, her name is Cinders because, like, there are something to do with actual cinders.
And is there something in the original Brothers Grimm story, like, the sisters, like, break their feet to, like, fit in the god's slipper
or something? Oh, yeah, like, one of them, like, cuts her toe off. I'm gonna quickly...
That's unpleasant.
Yeah. I think there's one, like, there is a movie that's a lot more Grimm Brothers TM and real Grimm, but I don't know what it is.
What I like about this one, though, is it is the fairy tale, right? It's the happily ever after, prince and princesses, but it does it without any of the extra bits, without the magic, without the fairy godmother. It's like this is, it tells you this is real. And
it grounds the story.
And for the most part, you can see why the prince would fall in love with her.
Yes.
If it falls short anywhere, I don't understand why she likes the prince so much.
He's a handsome boy. Like, I like him.
He's, yeah, and like, the best.
Well, didn't you hear the beginning
movie, the
dialogue? It was the first man she had met in 20 years. Obviously, that's why.
So it's just like, oh, he'll do. Yeah, the best bit in the movie where they're drinking with the gypsies.
Yeah.
like, that conversation where I think we're like, she can see that there's like a connection forming there and that he's really listening and open to like discussing ideas and philosophy. It's fine. It doesn't seem like he brings a lot to the table.
Yeah, I think what I appreciate about this movie is she inspires him. There's never really a whole lot of resolution about him, like, going from not wanting to be king to, like, kind of being more resolute in being king, other than she has inspired him to actually have some things to do.
Mm. Yeah. And I think a little bit more exploration of that could have been good. But I think a lot of the time when you're remaking Cinderella, you're trying to solve the problem of Cinderella herself not being particularly interesting.
But you're talking about that as a remake from the Disney animation, not from the original source material.
Well, and fair enough, I haven't read the Brothers Grimm version.
Have people?
I have a very long time ago. Yeah. When you mentioned the foot thing, I was like, oh yeah, I do kind of remember that.
I just remember like reading that in like a BuzzFeed, like 12 things you won't believe in the original that Disney left out of their movies.
How dare they leave that out of their child's cartoon?
I do love the scene with the gypsies where she like talks that like she's like, anything I can carry, I can take. And she just picks up the prince.
I just love, like, I saw it coming from a mile away, and I was like, yes, do it.
Yeah. Like, because it's one of those, like, I think other movies could have tried, like, could have done a similar thing and come across as just really cheesy, but this Cinderella has earned it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've seen her, like, being physically strong, like, really smart and everything before this moment. So it felt, I think there's plenty of movies that have tried to do a similar thing and fallen short.
And Drew Barrymore's performance is so charming.
I do like Drew Barrymore.
I don't know what to think of her because she's so weird.
I'm sorry. Did Cal just call someone weird?
Yeah. If I'm allowed to call anybody weird, it's Drew Barrymore. She's a kook. So not that long ago we watched the Charlie's Angels movies.
And that bit where she does a moonwalk that's definitely not a moonwalk.
Like that never left my brain.
Oh, if you want to see some fun stuff with Drew Barrymore, go watch A Santa Clarita Diet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Timothy
Oliphant and Drew Barrymore. Oh my god.
Together at
Fuck
last.
You, Netflix, for cancelling the best show ever made.
Well.
Anyway, what else do we have to say about this movie?
Selling take it. A chill pill.
I think the what I really liked about this one too is not both the sisters were fucking evil. One of them.
Yeah.
One of them is kind of like stuck in between a rock and a hard place because that makes sense. She's clearly going to be favoriting one daughter.
Well, but is she stuck between a rock and a hard place and like seeing the messed up morality of the other two? Or is she only doing that because she's not the picked sister? Because if she had been the picked sister, would she have been just as conniving?
That's impossible. That's begging questions of what makes people the way they are.
Well, I think you have to look at her arc throughout the story is because she becomes less helpful to, she becomes less helpful to she becomes more helpful to Danielle as the story progresses. At the beginning, she's very much like the other two. She only changes her story as the other two continue to dismiss her.
But they are also getting worse to Danielle, including literally selling her, which is crazy. True.
Well, like, the stepmother does seem like Not as cartoonishly evil as she is in a lot of versions, but
yeah,
so inhumanly cold.
She's realistically manipulative.
How satisfying is it though when she gets summoned to the palace and they're like, "You lied to the queen.
You lied to the queen. Off like, with your head."
It's like, oh, and then it's like, I'll vouch for her.
Yeah, that works so really good. Well.
And just the revelation, like the really hammering it in that like she has no allies here. All of her fucking ass-kissing has earned her nothing.
Yep.
In the grand scheme of things.
The one thing about this movie that I thought was really weird is that they had that side plot where Drew Barrymore's Danielle was, like, trying to get into Preston. But I didn't think... Princeton. But I didn't think it was a thing yet.
Are you confusing two movies?
Sam...
I'm doing a
what
bit.
What are you doing?
I'm doing a bit.
It's a bad bit.
All right.
I'm like, that's are you fine. Having a stroke? Do I need to call a doctor? I was concerned.
You guys are so mean. I love
that Sam is so, like, not funny that when he does a bit, we're genuinely worried for his health.
That's so rude. I'm the funniest person either of you know.
I think what ruined your bit was the fact that you mispronounced Princeton, so no one knew what you were talking about for a second.
I don't know what your fake American colleges are called, man.
You know, Princeton's an Ivy League. It's like one of the top schools in the country.
God damn it.
Yeah, I bet it is.
So is that your transition period? You want to switch over to the Hilary Duff Cinderella story?
What else did we have to say on the Drew Barrymore one?
I would just like to bring attention to the apple throwing one more time. Thank you. We may move on. Yeah.
It was a good shot.
I would have liked more apple throwing.
The one final thing I will say on it is I like the ball. The ball is really like it's very different to most other Cinderella balls.
Yeah.
Like, Cinderella leaves because she's humiliated, not because the clocks run out.
Yeah.
On this arbitrary magic.
Well, don't forget, it's not Cinderella, Samuel. It is, in fact, a Cinderella story, thus not Cinderella.
Correct.
Well, and, like, it looked interesting. Like, all the different masks and stuff across the nobility was interesting, but then I assumed that it was the gypsy population at the ball that were wearing the like pagan antlers and stuff like that, and
probably
like there seemed to be two different groups of people.
Well, it was also just
at this
different
party really
because
mingling.
You had you didn't have a case of mistaken identity of who is that girl. I couldn't possibly recognize her without the dress and the shoes. And like it didn't mess around with any of that and was very much, well, I guess it did have a case of mistaken identity because that was the whole crux of it, was her masquerading as something
well,
she wasn't.
It's that she, and it all came but to it wasn't like she's ball. Got a little mask on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Cinderella. It's one of those things that, like, it lived in my head in this, like, it's just a basic, like, fairy tale love story. It's not meant to be much more than that. But watching these three movies has been like, oh, I know it's class. Like, it's all about class divisions. And so, like, seeing the different ways that this is tackled is really interesting. And as a transition to the Hilary Duff version, seeing that translated into a high school situation in a Mean Girl style clique thing.
Well, something I'm gonna
is not.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was gonna say it's. I'm not sure it works perfectly, but it's an idea.
We'll talk about this more when we get kind of all the way up to present day. But the big thing that I noticed with all Cinderella movies, and not just the three that we're talking about today, but as we get more and more modern in Cinderella retellings, we are getting hungrier and hungrier for agency from that woman, and that she has to want more than just a man. Sam in A Cinderella Story it is not just out there like, I must go to the ball to meet the boy. Like, she's not even concerned with it. It's, and we continue to grow out of that idea that a woman just needs a man, and every retelling of a Cinderella story continues to move away from that idea.
Mm. Yeah, and I think, like, because that is, I think that's sort of, that's the hard part of tackling any Disney princess story, or any of these, like, old fairy tales, where it's a...
That were written in a time where women were literally property, yeah.
Well, and written, because it's about characters where the only thing they have to look forward to is falling in love with somebody.
Yeah, if you're going to be property, you might as well be in love with who you're property of.
Jeez.
So did I go too far?
Keep it light, guys.
Because it's more that there's nothing else that defines either of the characters.
Mm.
And so giving them their own personality is something that is relatively recent, at least it's, because I'm sure there's older stories where they have a proper personality and stuff, but that's, at least growing up with Disney stuff, that's the problem that these newer movies try to solve.
Yeah.
Is adding a personality for these characters and making it ubiquitous enough that when you think Cinderella, you've got an idea of what her interests might be.
Yeah, I mean, I think Cinderella's become very much just an archetype of the meet cute rather than an actual entity anymore. It's more the setup of the situation than the person. The actual character of Cinderella, you talk a lot about personality. I think it genuinely comes down to a lot of the agency of, like, even the Disney one takes a lot of her agency away of, like, the mice get her out of the locked room. She's a victim of circumstance and doesn't get a whole lot to fix that herself. The fairy godmother gives her the dress. And she goes to the ball, but, like, with the help of everyone else. And when she gets back, she does nothing about it. You look at Drew Barrymore, she's very active throughout her story. You look at Hilary Duff, she's active throughout her story and making these decisions. Yes, she has, is it Miles? By her side going, nah, you gotta go talk to him, girl, and being weird, different character every day. But she's making those choices. She's the one who shows up in the locker room. She has that agency.
And I think when you look at, like, the old Grimm fairy tales too, they were cautionary stories, right? That was the point of them for the most part. And when Disney adapted them, that's still what they were, but the old animated movies don't add anything. They watered down these cautionary tales to
fairy tales,
bite-sized, colourful fairy tale stories, which is fine, but because it's just a cautionary tale, there's no character. So they, I think in modern retellings, we have that, like you both were saying, we have that hunger for character, and a character isn't interesting.
Well, it's also
agency,
the context of when that movie was made. That movie came out late 40s, early 50s. One, it was an experimental attempt at various animation styles, and was Walt Disney's favorite piece of animation they ever made was that dress transformation. So it was far more about the art than the actual story. And two, you look at where it happened in terms of history. Obviously, yes, there wasn't a whole lot in terms of, like, development in women in stories other than maybe a few movies here and there about a femme fatale. That's not what Disney's going to make. You look at where they are in history, Disney's trying to give us a light, happy ending amidst the darkest days of life.
Well, and I think in the older stories, Cinderella isn't, like, if it is a cautionary tale, it's to not mess with, I guess, destiny. Like, it's that you can't just assume that, like, you can't underestimate somebody like Cinderella, that one day she could end up above you in the class structure and behead you or banish you or remove
your
titles or
whatever.
You're
going to cut off your own toes to take her spot. Oh, the other one has their bird's peck.
You can sacrifice a lot, but you might never be able to fight destiny. You might never be able to stop her from getting to her position. It's a bit like,
well, it's a lesson in kindness.
Cinderella's more like Carrie
well
in that story.
It's Sorry? Less like don't hurt someone because they may screw you over. It's far more just about kindness and treat everyone well, and like those who exhibit kindness can succeed. Getting us kind of back to the topic of a Cinderella story, so much of that story comes down to the words left on the wall from her dad, and like reminding her of who she wants to be and how she wants to play the game of life. She doesn't want to play it like her stepmother or her sisters. She's going to go off and achieve greatness because of who she is, not because of who someone else is grooming her to be.
But, right, she did not follow through with that baseball bat. There's no way it went all the way out into another field. She hit it and didn't follow through with the swing. So there's just no momentum. Like, she can't have gotten it the ball that far.
Are you talking about the beginning of the movie?
Yeah.
Fun fact about the beginning of that movie is the little girl who plays
No, 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 no. Sorry, I'm talking about the bit where she hits it into the other field where handsome Rob is playing
when she's playing American baseball with the pitching machine.
I see. Yep. Yeah. I'm caught up. I won't share my fun fact and the world will never know.
I mean, you can still share the fun fact.
Oh, I just grew up with the girl who played young Sam. She was in the grade above me and we went to school together.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh, nice. That is wholesome.
You're welcome.
This stepmother's probably the worst one, right?
Of the three we're talking about?
Of the three we watched.
What is that actress's name?
The most cartoonishly evil
of the three. I love her as an actress.
I don't know, but I've seen her in so much.
Stifler's mum, right?
Yeah, and she's in
Jennifer
Two Broke
Coolidge.
Girls, basically playing the same character.
Great.
I love Jennifer Coolidge. She's in Legally Blonde. She's Paulette, I think. She's the one who has to learn to bend and snap.
Yeah. God damn it.
This is important information.
And the stepsisters as well are just like slapstick Tom and Jerry level ridiculous.
But would everyone here would watch deleted scene of them trying to do synchronized swimming.
if you say so.
Yes.
I guess if there's nothing else on.
There's a lot of fun little details in this, like just how well they balance, like how well they do, like, the team name being the Fighting Frogs and using that as a frog prince metaphor in the Cinderella thing. Like, just a lot of little moving parts that
lots of fairy tale references
pretty elegantly
throughout,
put together.
Yeah.
I like all the phones.
You know, it's a Cinderella story, and it's literally, like, she wants to go to Princetown. She wants to go to Princeton. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I get it.
Literally any other college
prince
wouldn't work.
The university. And I like the dad just going, hey, look, like, these are just dumb little kids' fairy tales in here, but there is, like, there's life lessons here for you to take from this. Like, just because it's kids' stuff doesn't mean it's not important.
And he died in an earthquake. Be careful of aftershocks, Cal.
God damn it.
This is a great time to mention that Sam's doing this podcast from under a table.
Just sitting in a doorway.
Oh, don't you...
Actually...
Oh, you wouldn't know this because you don't get updated earthquake training every year. They say not to go into doorways anymore.
I thought that's what they did in this movie.
They might have. Like, that movie was made a long time ago, sir.
They think... Like, the idea is that it's a stronger part of the building, but it actually just means there's going
to
be more debris.
But can we just go back to Cal thinking the movie was made recently? Did you see the phones? Did you recognize the phones?
Look, this movie, for how 90s this movie was, it came out in 2004.
Yeah.
We all know the 90s didn't finish till 2005. Like,
no, the 90s didn't finish till 2008.
You're confusing the 90s with the early 2000s. You know what phones looked like in the 90s? They didn't flip. They were, like, attached to cars with giant antennas radiating cancer. That's not what a phone in the 90s looked like.
God damn.
They were bricks you could throw at the ground and they'd never break.
Man,
I miss
those days. Man, I pulled out like an old... I had like a slide phone with a full QWERTY keyboard and
gross.
A touch screen, and it was like, oh man, it was the bomb.
I remember the days you could walk into a phone store and there'd be more than two phones on display.
There's no point. Nobody buys any of the other ones.
And they all look the same, and I know why they all look the same, but like,
Remember the days when they didn't? Just... Remember when BlackBerry came out and everyone's like, oh, a whole keyboard.
You can still, like, the flagship BlackBerry phone still has a physical keyboard.
I know, but man, like, how do you hit any of those buttons?
It's pretty sick. Prince Charming is pretty good.
I love Chad Michael Murray. Like, he's great.
He's got one of the best,
the most boring slice of white one bread I've ever seen.
It's the early 2000s. That's what goes for great, Sam.
Yeah, I know. But I just was like,
Compared to all the other Prince Charmings, there's not, like... At least this kid has, like, wants and a character arc and, like, things to think about.
He's not just a vapid prince who, like, just is like, I will be king one day. He has things he wants to do outside of, like, his equivalent of nobility. He doesn't want to just run his dad's empire. He wants to go do his own thing. And again, his entire character motivation is not, I need to find a girl.
Excuse me while I play the tiniest violin for this dude whose dad owns
No one's asking you to be sympathetic to him. They're just saying...
The smallest violin for this little tiny slice of white bread.
Oh, yeah.
Sam, I'm going to ask you really quickly to look in a mirror before you continue.
I think you'll find I resemble a potato far more than a slice of bread.
So
there are no arguments.
Skipping ahead
here.
To the next movie, very, very briefly. How do you feel about the other prince that we're going to talk about?
I have very specific feelings about that prince, and we will we'll get to it.
I can't stand him. Oh my god!
All I'm saying is all these princes are the same. They're all like vapid one note bullshit.
But
characters.
This one in particular, like all three of these that we've grouped together, their whole thing is I turn away from what is expected of me and I will do something else, even though two of them end up one of them ends up doing it.
They all sort of recognize that this class structure thing is stupid and that Cinderella's got the right idea with, like, how about we just fucking don't, we just care about who we care about, enjoy
but what
the
I like about
do those things.
What I like about a Cinderella story compared to the other two is the other two still carry that bit of the Cinderella mythos that is, you must marry a woman and you must have a decision by this date at this time. And this one, like, obviously it's high school, that would be ridiculous to set that up. So neither of them are really looking for that at the time. And they have this, like, you know, they like kind of found love at the ball, but they had found each other well before that through their IM conversations. Remember the days of IM? Mm.
Man.
She's like, I email him. I'm like, what the fuck's an email?
You know what an email is.
No.
Some kind of letter.
I'm young.
What do you mean you can use more than 140 characters?
Sam... You would recognize, like, old Telstra 1 cent texts.
Oh god. Remember when you could, like, pay someone a dollar from your credit using Telstra? Yeah.
I've got money
I'm
on
closer
back
to the
in
age.
Days before all plans had unlimited data.
I'm closer to the age of 30 than I am to the age of 20, and I am very upset by that fact.
I've got money that the next Cinderella movie will take place on Twitter and everything will be done in 140 characters or less.
Have you seen College Humor's Tinderella animated short?
Oh, God. No.
Well, it exists. I'll let you all know.
I didn't think
Google
I had any cringe left after watching some of these movies, but I've got some. It's there. It's for the concept of Tinderella.
I think my main problem with this... I really actually like the ball stuff. Not so much them dancing. It's fine. And I like that she drops her phone. That's
special
funny.
Mention to
but
the killer
I like
soundtrack.
Her friend, I like her friend, like, doing the chase. I'm like, fun. The soundtrack is like, how many licensed songs can we get in here?
It is such a good soundtrack.
Wait,
Sam.
Have we moved on already?
No.
It is such a good soundtrack. I still listen to it.
I didn't recognize a lot of the songs. Like, is Bowling for Soup on there when they were dressing up?
Oh, I do love
Bowling. First
that
day
is
of
Bowling
the rest
for Soup.
Of my life,
cool.
I
nailed
think.
It. Called it.
Is it First Day of the Rest of My Life? Is Bowling for Soup?
I think my main problem with this movie is I kind of wanted... Well, you mentioned Mean Girls, Kel. I kind of wanted... Because, like, I look at, like, Clueless, which is Emma in a high school in the 90s. I think I wanted it to just be a bit more... I don't know, have... That movie has a slight extra edge to it that this doesn't. This feels like a kid's movie, whereas Clueless feels like a teen movie. You know?
The set and costume design of this movie does make it look like something from, like, A Cat in the Hat. Sorry, The Cat in the Hat. A Cat in the Hat. That's a different movie. Yeah, it's like it's all super colourful and, like, two-dimensional and cartoony and weird. Like...
Particularly the sisters.
Yeah, But, like, it's...
I take it back. Mm. I don't think it's Bowling for Soup.
What?!
Well, I have the soundtrack, and I was just pulling up the track list, and Bowling for Soup's not on it. But that doesn't mean that they didn't have music that they didn't put on the soundtrack. So I'm not sure. Mm. But First Day of the Rest of Our Lives was MXPX.
Okay.
There's quite a few songs by Hillary and Haley Duff. A few songs by Jesse McCartney. Man, was this the time to be alive if you like Jesse McCartney. Sympathy by the Goo Goo Dolls.
I haven't thought about Jesse McCartney Jesse in a very long time.
You keep telling
yourself
that. I'll
forget him again, probably later today.
Who are we talking about?
Paul McCartney.
Oh, I love Paul McCartney. Beatles.
Oh, my goodness. Good
stuff. He's pretty good.
I love the side storyline of, I can't think of her name, the head clicky girl falling in love with Miles. Is his name Miles? Have I misremembered that?
He's just the kid from Cougar Town in my head.
I see.
Okay, I was completely taken aback when Howard from The Big Bang Theory showed up.
Wait, hang on.
Yeah, Wolowitz just turns up.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Oh, he's in the dance.
He's the guy that
he's
actually
in a couple
turns
of scenes.
Up.
Yeah, and he turns up
and
dressed
says
as
he's Nomad.
As Neo.
Carter, that's his name. His name is Carter, not Miles. I don't know where I got Miles from. It's Carter.
Yes, it is.
Can we talk about, like, the biggest thing about this movie, like, looking forward to today? Regina King.
was that her name?
Regina King is the actress who plays Rhonda.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. Regina King has gone on to, like, be nominated for every award known to man recently.
I didn't even recognize her.
She's the fairy godmother equivalent in this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the, she's, like, the manager at the restaurant?
Mm.
At the diner? Yeah.
This is where my love affair with rollerblading began.
Rollerblading's very good.
I was going to say, you watched all of them suffering from rollerblading, and you're like, I want to give that a go.
This might be a useful skill I need later in life.
What, for when you work at
a
roller
diner? From the 50s.
Yes.
It's so tacky. But
yeah, I don't know how she can afford to adopt a teenager, but...
since she is 17... I don't know what the laws are, but technically she doesn't need to, like, legally adopt it.
Yeah.
They can have, like, a housemate.
I thought it was...
Kind of, she can come
I thought it was
her.
More of an emancipation.
Like, here
they're both unemployed now.
No. They own the diner now, yeah. Cal.
Oh, well, okay. By the end of the movie, yes. But at the time when she says, no, Hilary Duff, you can come and live with me, they both had no jobs.
Yeah, but, like, that wasn't fine. About adoption. That was, like, emancipation.
Yeah, no, I get it. I just mean...
Cal's making dumb jokes that
don't
land.
Don't worry, you can come and live in my house that I now can't afford because I also quit. It seems like they're just both agreeing to sleep under a bridge together.
Worst case, a couple of mice would have come along and fixed the problem, I'm sure.
Do you think in these movies without
but
mice,
we just didn't
the best
see them. They weren't necessary.
Best friends are the mice? Because Carter is the one who drives the car.
He's the footman. Shall we move on to Girl Boss Cinderella?
Girl Boss Cinderella.
Amazon's Cinderella.
Yes. I thought I was going to really, 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 really hate it.
Me too.
And then I actually kind of had fun with it.
Me too.
Until James Corden showed
up.
Really
weird
and then
movie.
I was mad for 5 minutes.
Oh, James Corden might... Oh.
He fell over a bucket. Surely that's redeeming.
He relieved himself out of his front tail.
Gross.
Did mice not have genitals?
No,
they're mammals, so that joke doesn't make sense.
like,
This movie was a weird movie because I left it being happy and having enjoyed it, but it something about it, like, while watching it, I just wanted it to be over. It had this weird mix. And I think what that was came down to two factors for me. Is I do like a modern musical where, like, the idea of the musical isn't original music. It is taking music that exists and fits into the story. Yeah. That's fun. But they did the whole version of every single song rather than cutting them down to, like, a 2-minute bit. So they went on for ages.
Did they?
Yeah.
And the story beats, like, everything was very even, consistent, and flat. There were no parts of the story that seemed to, like, speed up or slow down or pause for emphasis. Everything just kind of kept, like, and then this happened, and then, like, and it just kept turning at the same speed until it was over.
Because the stakes were pretty low throughout the whole thing until, like, right at the end, where it's like, no, we've got to run to get to the port, but then also we're going to stop and have a conversation about how we feel in a paddock.
Yeah.
And, like, they lampshade it, but they don't, like, it kept at that same consistent level of tension the whole
but
way
I still
through.
Walked away being happy that I watched it and having enjoyed it and thought the story itself was cute and enjoyed the fairy tale of it.
Like they did a few quite good things, I think. Like Pierce Brosnan's King was
I love Pierce Brosnan.
Cuz like
I'm just so glad they made him sing.
Yeah. Cuz like they put him in Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
And
why do
they
keep
like
they putting
went,
him
oh,
in
shit.
Things where he sings? He's not good at it.
I think they got him on the set of Mamma Mia and they're like, cool, so like you're a big deal English actor, right? So you're like theatrically trained, like you can sing. And he's like, no. Oh, shit.
I feel like he's putting himself in these situations rather than the other way around.
Yeah,
oh,
but
probably.
Right,
he's saying
right.
yes to these
and no
roles.
One can say no to him.
I think he's been like pulled in chains. Like, some studio's got something on him, and they're like, you're gonna fucking sing, my friend.
It was really funny.
007, the musical, coming to your hometown on a date seemed to be.
Well, what? I like the canonical establishment that, like, the people who are singing in this world are, like, making it up on the spot, and they're all pretty good at it, and everybody is actually singing. It's not like in some musicals where it's this surreal, are they, like, is this really happening, is this not? Like, when Pierce Brosnan sings, like, when Pierce Brosnan sings, everyone knows that he's singing. Everyone yeah. knows that he's doing it badly, and everyone just goes, yep. Oh, well, I guess this is relatively normal for our universe. He's just bad.
Well, except
at it.
one of the things that didn't work for me is that every single song was an existing IP.
Yeah.
Except for Mr. Announcement Man, who rapped everything, but like that wasn't like it wasn't an existing thing. I feel like if you're gonna be a musical movie and you're gonna pick that lane, you gotta stay in that lane. Mm. You can't do both.
Yeah, that was kind of odd. I don't mind that they did it, but it is an odd choice.
I think there's at least one song that was sort of written for the movie, it was, like, the actress's song.
Oh, the big kind of soliloquy song in her bedroom, and then it's reprised later.
If it's if it's a million to one.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
I actually was not a huge fan of her vocals, because those aren't organic vocals. It doesn't sound like... It couldn't possibly be her singing in that moment.
Yeah, it's like the dubbing isn't very good, but also that song in particular is the only one that she sings like that.
She's also not as experienced of like I'm also comparing her to Idina Menzel, who's done this her entire life and like
holy shit
knows one how to sing and two how to lip sing her songs back.
She stole the show at times.
Like, I feel like they cast her and then went, we need to actually clean up who the stepmother is, and that's how we got such an interesting story for the stepmother.
Yeah, like, this is the only movie that tries to give the stepmother a sort of... no, like, the Drew Barrymore one does, sort of, but she's definitely not meant to be sympathetic. In this one, she's meant to be,
a material girl.
But that's the ironic bit about it, is that she's really not. She's like, she sits down with Cinderella and goes, you think I'm, like, you know, the whole movie is kind of tongue-in-cheek at, like, the Cinderella story in general, where, like, you know, oh, you want to go to the ball, you can't go to the ball? Did you not just hear me singing and crying about it? Like, it's the same kind of thing, but in a little bit more serious of a tone, where Idina Menzel goes, you think I'm the monster, don't you?
Well, I like,
and then she tells her whole story, and her story was so genuine and, like, really gave us this interesting side to her, where it's like, I'm not trying to hurt you. I have been hurt. I see myself in you, and I don't want to see you end up this way. Like, that's the ironic bit of her singing Material Girl and teaching that to her daughters, is that that wasn't who she was. That's who she had to become when her husband left her, because she wasn't one already. Having too much substance was her downfall. So she's become something she didn't want to be.
I also like the scene where she sat down and, like, she's like, the prince wants to marry you? You have to fucking do it.
One of my problems with this was the romance between the two, because it was, again, that, well, you have to get married, and he's like, oh, well, let me, like, I don't want to get married, I don't want to get married. And then she stands up and makes a fool out of herself. He's like, that's the one. I'm in love with her for absolutely no reason. We've spent less than 48 hours together, but we're going to get married, and I'm going to follow her across the ocean. We're going to go do all the things because I don't want to be the king. Woo!
Yeah.
And that they, like, it all sort of, like, even the things that come from that seem silly, like the sister becoming king instead, when all she's done...
No, I dug that. That was great. Like, every scene she was in, I was so happy for her. Now a bad time to bring up political reform? Is now a bad time to bring up starving children? Is now a bad time to bring up another horrible thing?
It's like, yes, now it is a bad time. And everyone just shuts her down constantly. Like, she's not presented as somebody who, like, but actually Cal, has good ideas. Cal. She's just the only one who's paying any attention.
Cal. Well, that's kind of the bit of royalty as well in every single one of these movies. Even the Drew Barrymore one is like, do you not pay attention to what's going on? You think this is fine? You notice the one guy, but not the rest of the guys, because a pretty girl was talking about the one.
I don't make the rules. I'm just the king.
Yeah, like, that's kind of the bit, is that, like, the royalty is kind of useless in these worlds, and, like, this is actually someone who's paying attention and wants to do something, but because she wasn't born with a penis, she can't. Like, oh, so sorry, that's the crutch we're gonna have to hang on forever. But every single scene, I loved seeing that, but I also loved what she meant in terms of her relationship with her brother. It wasn't like a war between them that she begrudged him for not wanting the crown and not being grateful for what he had. It was so, like, there was no rivalry. They were very
they were equally
in sync with each other. So much so that they were willing to help each other in so many ways. Like, he wanted to help her. She also wanted to help him. She wore the dress to the dance to make a grand gesture to this girl that she had never met.
Genuinely thought they were setting up that, because they set up the prince as, like, this fuckboy, doesn't care about anything, he just wants to hang out with his mates and have a laugh. And then the sister's the one who's got ambition for queen. I'm like, oh, are we going to have Cinderella end up with the princess? Because that's fun. And then they didn't do that, and I was disappointed.
He follows her. So they marry for love, but it's not conditioned of her giving up her life for him. He's giving up his life for her, but it's a life he didn't want, so
yes.
It's somehow
so it's not even a sacrifice,
a happy compromise. Exactly, which is, like, you know, that was the best we've got, is we're gonna, like, he'll follow her, but, like, he didn't really want what he had going on anyway, so,
and, like, the
fine.
One thing he did have was, like, close friends, and he is giving them up, and they don't reference that at all.
They just disappear.
But it's like,
there was a whole scene about, am I your best friend? But we're just going to disappear now.
Man, that scene where he's meeting with the Spanish princess, or am I just mixing that up with the Drew Barrymore one? Where she's like, see these two blobs? We'd rule both of them. All the way from here down to where the sea monster is. And I'm like, oh, cool, that's just a funny reference to the cartoon sea monster on the map. And then Pierce Brosnan's like, I wanted the land of the sea monster.
I thought he was like, he can marry the sea monster for all I care.
Well, we'll have to get the ring resized. Badoom tiss. Everyone's funny in this movie.
I mean, it's a good time. Like, you have, there are some good jokes that land well. I thought, like, I liked how the ball was approached, because it wasn't the same kind of, like, there was at least magic to why people couldn't recognize her, not just like, oh, the maid is in a pretty dress. How would we ever know that she was the same person? With the glasses on, she's Clark Kent, and with the glasses off, she's a woman. We can't look at her. But there was at least, like, they tried to explain that away. She wasn't, like, as much as he coaxed her into going, she was not there to meet the boy. She was there for work.
Yeah.
And, like, oh, I've just completely lost that train of thought.
I liked the fairy godmother.
Yeah. I love Billy Porter, and I wish I could walk in shoes that he can wear, because I look at them and fall over.
Yeah, me too.
Don't know anything about this dude besides that everyone was very excited to see him in this.
So this is an excellent time to have an honorable mention to a Cinderella that we're not talking about.
Cool.
Which is the 97 Cinderella.
Is it by Disney?
Lots and lots of interviews. Sorry?
I said, is it by Disney?
Well, sort of by Disney, like under a Disney banner, but it wasn't a Disney, it wasn't a Disney live action off of the original. It's not that. The 97 Cinderella was Rodgers and Hammerstein version of Cinderella. Whitney Houston plays the fairy godmother in that, and Billy Porter talks so much about this movie being inspiration of exactly what he wanted to do with this character.
Got it.
Mm. Fair enough.
Neither one. I think
without seeing the movie, I just have no context, and I don't know who any of the people you just mentioned are.
You don't know who Whitney Houston is?
Oh, except for Whitney Houston, obviously, but
because it's an incredible musical. It's got new and different music because it's a musical by Rodgers and Hammerstein, which will mean nothing to either of you.
I think I remember seeing the trailer for this on the VHS release of the Disney animated Cinderella. And
but the 97 one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think that works out timeline-wise.
Possible.
But, so, like, I sort of know of it. Does it have Jason Alexander in it? It doesn't matter.
You're testing my memory.
It's really not a big deal. But, yeah, so I just don't know anything about this, really. Like, that's the closest thing to something I would have connection
to. Yes, it does have him in it.
Yeah, cool. So I know that it exists and that it has Jason Alexander in it. That's it.
Great.
Because he's content. The only actor I recognize from the trailer in 1997. But anyway.
Any final thoughts on this Cinderella?
Well, I did want to say that I liked that this Cinderella is sort of rewarded for something. Like, with the whole, like, nurturing the caterpillar and that becoming the fairy godmother.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
That's just a nice little touch to be like, this is why she's a good person. It's not just that she's ambitious or just that she's oppressed. It's that she's actually a good person underneath it all.
Yeah.
Well, and it is somewhat her own agency within it. It's not just like she's a victim of circumstance, so like the gods decided to smile on her. Things are sucking, but you know what? She's trying to make the best out of things and help those that she can. And it turns out that she helped the right caterpillar.
Because, like, I assume that in the old school stuff, if there is a fairy godmother, that it would literally be, like, a fae creature from the spirit world that the parents decided is going to look after their child should they both die.
Another honorable mention that should have been talked about but isn't because it's Disney is Ella Enchanted.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's based off of a book, but, like, that's basically it. Her fairy godmother was was someone she was bargained away to. Well, not, like, to be owned, but, like, agreed upon with her parents.
Mm. Yeah. Like, so
am I misremembering that movie?
In the Grimm's... I've just looked it up. In the Grimm's version of Cinderella, her fairy godmother is her dead mother, and she requests her aid by praying at her grave.
By carrying a rock and wearing an invisibility cloak with a powerful stick.
Probably. Yeah, like, out of all of these, like, how do we rank these? What's your order?
I think my favorite's Ella. Sorry, not Ella. Ella Enchanted is probably my favorite, like, Cinderella movie. But it's Disney, so it doesn't count. My favorite is Ever After, followed by the new Cinderella, and then A Cinderella Story. It's not that I...
How dare
you? It's not that I don't like A Cinderella Story, just of these three, it's probably the one I had the least fun with.
I think I agree.
How dare you? You're both wrong!
I'm sorry.
What is...
A Cinderella Story is a treasure.
That's fine. Where do you rank it?
It's number one, baby.
What about the other two?
Very good.
Nothing even comes close. There will be no further rankings today.
Oh, okay.
All right, fabulous.
But if I had to rank a number two, it'd probably be Ever After and then the new one.
Fair enough. I'm just surprised at how close they all were in my head, that, like, I enjoyed them all relatively evenly.
Yeah, it wasn't like... What I enjoyed about A Cinderella Story was often the dumb shit, though. So I'm like, I'm enjoying it because it's dumb.
Yeah.
How dare you?
It's fine. Don't get defensive. Like, it's fine that you like a dumb thing.
But, like, dumb things are generally... Like, dumb things can be really, really fun. Funner
than serious
things.
My favorite Star
Wars
movie is The Phantom Menace, and I'll never apologize for it.
But this is the thing that you're missing about A Cinderella Story compared to the other two, is that the overall, like, yes, the new one, she wanted to go do her business thing. That's great. That's excellent progress movie. But it's still, like, the problem and crux of things happening revolved around, like, how does this happen with the boy attached? So much of the beauty of A Cinderella Story is... that the boy's kind of taken or leaving in the whole circumstance. Like, the crux of the drama is not really about the boy. It's really about the home life. And the boy just happens to work out on the side.
I will...
Like, he...
Sorry, go.
Well, he just works at, like, it's kind of like, obviously, it's based off of Cinderella... it is a Cinderella story. So it, like, she has to end up with the prince because that's the fairy tale we all know and love. But, like, the way it's addressed at the end is like, oh, and I guess we're both going to go to Princeton together. Like, it's all far less committal. Far less, like, it. Like, yes, like, they have a big fight and, like, they all make fun of her and she goes storming into the locker room. But that was not the crux of the story. The crux of the story is all the stuff happening at home and with the restaurant
and
her actual personhood.
You're right, and I'll give you all that. It's a great thing. There's so many scenes of her texting on a Motorola.
Oh, yeah. That's the problem. If she was a Nokia gal, you'd be all about it.
And, no, it's fine that it's a Motorola. It's just, it's fine. And she didn't follow through with the baseball bat. There's no way the ball went that far without a follow through.
God damn it, Sam.
Have you ever even used a baseball
yes.
bat?
Yes. We have, people play baseball here.
No, they don't. And say, you definitely don't.
Well, I had a baseball and a baseball bat as a kid. So it shows what both of you know.
God damn it. Look, all I'm saying, I did like the ending where Hilary Duff's narrating that it's just like, well, you know, we're gonna live, like, we're pretty happy so far, but, you know, who knows what the future's gonna bring? And it's just like, yeah, that's a healthy way to view this relationship.
And I will move both of your lists with that movie at the top. Definitely end the podcast. Actually, we can't end the podcast because one more quick honorable mention that needs to be brought up is the same thing. This is going to be a weird thing to say because we talked about a movie that's called Another Cinderella Story. But there is another Cinderella Story that premiered this year, which is Andrew Lloyd Webber's... version of Cinderella that premiered in the West End this summer.
Okay. Am I in an ad?
I really wanted to see this musical. I just am excited about different versions of Cinderella. I'm also staring at a book called Cinderella is Dead that I haven't read yet, but I'm very excited to read. I've listened to the music for the new musical, and it's incredible. Carrie Hope Fletcher plays Cinderella, and as we all know, I'm madly in love with her, so...
Man, I haven't heard of her in a long time.
Yeah. It's because she's busy actually doing real stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like, I mean, I remember being subscribed to her on YouTube, and then I guess at some point I unsubscribed.
She still does, like, behind-the-scenes stuff. And it's just really cool. I'm really sad that I didn't get to see it before I left the UK, but
yeah.
I would be remiss in a Cinderella conversation that's not Disney Cinderella to discuss a brand new Cinderella story that has it. Like, I haven't seen the show, but listening to the soundtrack, it's one of those shows that you can kind of get the idea of the whole story from just the music because there's so much of it.
Mm.
And it's really got an interesting take on, like, beauty standards and the idea of Cinderella in terms of complicity with society.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And, so. Yeah, so if you're in the UK and you don't know anything about Carrie Hope Fletcher, she's, very, very talented person from, like, the golden age of YouTube, like, vlog videos.
I mean, she's still doing it, but she's, like, I mean, like, not that YouTube is diminishing in any capacity, but, like, she's so much more than that. She's played Eponine, she's played Cosette, two different roles in the West End from in Les Mis. She opened the UK tour of, not tour, she, yeah, the tour, of Heathers as Veronica Sawyer. She's had an incredible, like, musical theater career and continues to do so.
Yeah.
So she's a little bit more than a YouTuber.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm just, like, I guess I like following people where you can see, like, the YouTube aspect is, like, you get to see much more of their personal life in a non-reality TV dramatized bullshit way. It's like, this is a real person that I've sort of known because I've heard them sit in their bedroom talk about the books that they like.
Well, if that's what you're into, that's exactly what she does.
Yeah.
Her videos are either books or behind the scenes in the theater. Definitely worth checking her out again then.
Yeah.
But that is all I have to share on different Cinderellas happening around the world at this very moment.
Excellent.
That's good.
And on that note, tweet us at VideoShopPod and tell us what your favorite version of Cinderella is. It can't be Disney. That's the rule.
and, like, what's a personality trait that you think is definitive to Cinderella? Because I think a lot of these movies do just project on personality traits from essentially other Disney princesses, which I imagine
I'm telling you, Cinderella is no longer a story of a character. It is an archetype I can't think of what I called it earlier. It is the archetype of a story, not a character.
Yeah, and I think that's, yeah, like, when you think of Cinderella, you think of the plot. You think of the getting home before midnight, the fairy godmother, the restrictive home life, the class
structure
stuff. You
can drop any character you want into it. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think that's probably where
that's the beauty of fairy tales, is that you need to be able to drop any character into it so anyone can identify with it.
Mm, yeah, but I mean, I think like Beauty and the Beast gives Belle a personality. And like, I guess as you get more modern, you get more and more characters.
Well, yeah,
that are like
Beauty
this,
and the
yeah.
Beast came relatively what was
new.
It early 90s. Like,
yeah.
You're
like it
in,
was
in Disney Renaissance, and the idea that, like, it was this not first wave of feminism, but this wave of, like, retaliatory feminism that started with Ariel.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
That's a whole nother discussion for another day.
I was gonna say, yeah,
this is a rabbit hole.
I can talk the discord of Disney princesses and their eras and how that makes them what they are and the pros and cons of that, but why they shouldn't be dismissed as nothing all day long. But none of the people who listen to this want that.
And probably not
if
in an
you
hour
want that,
20.
Tweet
at Brienne. Yep.
Tweet at Brienne, not Video Show.
Yes, I don't know.
Well, I'm never coming back on the show again.
And I don't know what we're doing next week. So, is it October next week? No.
Yeah.
Is it? No.
Pretty much.
Well, not Monday. Like, if you actually are on schedule, it won't be October, but the end of next week is October.
Do we release on a specific day? I don't think we do anymore.
It's been mostly Tuesdays.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday today. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. And I got so many edit notes. Anyway.
You do, especially this rambly ending.
Nah, this all stays in, baby.
Well, let's not make any more work for old Sam. Tweet us at Video Shop Pod. See you, nerds.